There is a divine but mysterious, merciful and holy, just purpose in all that comes into my life, save my sins and the sins of others. God's ways are not our ways. I have some reminders for you. If you be an evil, know how to give good things to your children. How much more will not your heavenly Father know how to give good things to them that love him? So I am present like a Christian, this is for the moment, prepare the for an eternal life of glory. And now the story, just to remember what I have said this afternoon, ask the question. The question. Father, how can a man sure of us be right? You mean to say that all the one-time good priests are sisters? You mean the one-time good bishops are made wrong? You mean the learned university professors and the professors in the seminary? You mean all these good men and women that used to go to church with us, you mean that all along and all right, me? That's the devil that's talking to you. Don't answer the question. He's the one that put the question to you. Don't answer. Don't pay attention. Of course you're right. How do you know you're right? Are you living now as you lived on the day of First Communion, the day of Confirmation, the day of your marriage, the birth of the first child, the birth of the 12th child? You still pray the same way, still believe all you have been believed? How could you be wrong? Oh, but look at the multitude of brilliant people who ask you the question. It's the devil, that's the temptation. Don't answer it. Don't pay attention to it. I remind you to say a mass in a few minutes, but the mass I said on the door of our building. It's the mass that I went to when I was seminary. It's the mass I went to on the day I received First Holy Communion. It's the mass my mother went to when she made her First Holy Communion. It's the mass that my father's great-great-grandfather went to when he made his First Holy Communion. It's the mass. And go to confession, you kneel down, tell me your sins. I say, Abraham, God, I have the power. You have fulfilled all that is required. I, as judge and doctor and teacher, am empowered to give you a suitable penance and to send you out. If you believe in mortal sin, to send you out of the temple of the Holy Ghost. Nothing changed, my dear brethren, nothing. There has been a capture of the citadel of power. There are strange creatures at the corners of the apparatus of power. Nothing changed. God before me, God behind me, God to the right of me, God to the left of me, God above me, God beneath me, God within me, God without me. I arise today to an almighty power to guide me and protect me and control me. Dear mothers and fathers, if you could trust, did you ever think of praying to the Holy Ghost who is called the Paraclete? And the Paraclete means two things at the same time. The Advocate, one who will speak on our behalf. We are told that the Holy Ghost prays for us, so he is not a horrible dream. And he is not only the Advocate who speaks on our behalf, but he is the Comforter. Did you ever think of telling somebody at the cemetery when they're coming away and they decide they're self or grief? Did you ever think, only one word for the Holy Ghost, he says, how? This is the answer. This is the answer. This is the Comforter. Pray to the Holy Ghost for comfort, pray for light that you might see, and here are the two virtues that you should pray for very much. Pray for understanding, and pray for fortitude, the strength to endure. Now here is the story, we'll be followed by a second story, but here is the story for our youth. The devil has a day, and the kids haven't got a chance. Two stories. Father came over from Italy and they settled in Manhattan.
Praise be Jesus, praise Joseph.
There were many children and the husband died.
I'll be
and
sending
after
you
the death of the husband, the mother quarreled to support her children. This is the day before they were closely servicized.
She
worked far into the night and she did many things, cooking, washing, and cooking ironing, and did extra sewing. And she managed to keep her children
Anyway, not much need to work on that. We can get another one. Hopefully within an hour or two.
The east side of New York.
No, bless
they
you.
Live in low
thank
poverty.
You.
And the mother's only effort was to simply feed the children, keep them somewhat clothed, and keep them alive. She did the little she could, but that was very little because she was too busy trying to keep her children together, body and soul. She gave them what she could of paralyzed. She was a wonderful woman, apparently. And she had a boy. He was 8 years old. He used to go to school until he was 8 years old, barefoot. Because the other children were shoes, but she couldn't afford shoes to add of them. He was a tough little kid from the sidewalks in New York, and every single morning he ran out and he did his mother a favor. That's the way he put it. He didn't need breakfast. He'd get it on the way to school. So he stole the bread from the bread van and he stole the milk from the milkman. And that was his breakfast every morning. And when he was 8 years old, he was tough. The kid 14 years old wouldn't fight with him. And when he was 14 years old, the kid's 18 years old, thought, well, these are old enough to be in the game. And he began to use a knife. And when he was 18 years old, there wasn't a man in Manhattan that would cross him. And one day he sat down in the barber chair, and he was a man now in middle years and beyond middle years. And the barber began to shave and finished the shave and then covered the face over again with the warm towels, and two men came through the door, and when they stopped shooting, there were 15 bullets in his body. It was all over between one beat of the heart and the next beat of the heart. Who was the man? Well, the police identified him. They said, oh, well, we know who he is. We know that he's a hired assassin. We could do it at 4 tomorrow morning if we had the witnesses and proof. But the witnesses were afraid. But he assassinated 34 people on a contract. And we suspect that he actually executed 62. When that man died, you had to say to yourself, well, look at his background. He never had a chance. Look at the music companions he had. Look at the time he grew up with. That kid never had a chance. Where's the mercy of God there? Well, coming out of that same house was a boy who was a judgment on his mother. That boy went to school, had the same companions, grew up in the same surroundings, lived the same life. So on the day of Anastasia's funeral, his brother, Father Anastasia, said a funeral mass. And the next time you start feeling sorry for yourself and say, my kids haven't got a chance and I'm going out of my mind and I'm already on dope and I have a girl that's interested in Satanism and I have a boy who is a cancer and a synagogue, when you think I have sufficient reason for despair, you have forgotten this is God's world. You have forgotten the conversion of St. Augustine after 30 years. And you have forgotten what happened to his mother when she prayed for 30 years. She was St. Monica. You have forgotten that he was converted miraculously and in an instant. You have left God out of all of your reckoning, and you have prayed into the hands of the devil. Your despondency, your depression, is very understandable. You're just human beings. But when that is said, it's only a half truth. I am a child of God. And I have a claim upon God for his mercy, for his love. I have a claim upon God for miracles. Yeah. Your children need conversion, you'll take a miracle? What else? Will it take 40 years or 30 years? That's all right. Now I'm going to conclude with a story that some of you heard the first night when you were here. But I want to repeat it because there's quite a few here now that were not here the first night nor here yesterday. I wish you would remember this story even before you remember the story about the criminal and the priest that came from the same mother's home. This is a true story and this is a very beautiful story. A woman died at the age of 45 on September 5th. Well, this year passed. She's only dead a little more than 6 months. She was born in the very deep South, and her father was a Baptist, and her mother was a Presbyterian, and she had no religion really, because she got about 14. And then she thought, well, I'm trying to be baptized and trying to make a decision. if you went around and asked a lot of questions and made inquiries and tell you if you said, I guess I'll be a doctor. But I bet the dollar is a real joke in the whole world, it's a Catholic one. But I don't want to be one, but I bet that's true. Because you're the only ones in the whole world that say they have Jesus Christ. They say he's on the altar. They say he's present night and day. They say that he dies every day like he did on Calvary in their church. I bet they're right. Now that little girl at 14 had an experience when she was 7. When she was 7 years old, it was during the American Depression. And during the Depression, the day came and her mother said to the children, Santa Claus cannot come to our house this year because we are so poor. There will not be a single toy. And on Christmas Day, there is not even going to be one extra thing or special item for dinner. Nothing. Mother was very upset. She hated the poor, but she had the poor. They were very poor. And there they were down near the Gulf in the subtropics. And the little girl on Christmas night, Christmas Eve, knelt down and looked out the window and she said, oh, they're all upset now because they're not getting toys from China. And she was only 7 and she said, I don't care, that's all right. But she says, Mother's always telling us about snow. I sure would love to have some snow tomorrow for my Christmas present. And she says, just tune it to you. You can do anything. But she went to bed, and let's go to get up. The sun was out, and she said to her mother, how hot is it? Her mother said it's 60. So she forgot all about her Christmas present. She was not small. And the mother was very upset because it was Christmas Day. So she sang carols and Christmas hymns to the children, and she told them Christmas stories, and it got really dark outside, and when the stories were all over, the kids went out because the sun was coming out again, and they went out and there was snow everywhere. I remember it was so hot that the snow melted immediately. But when enough of it had fallen in that serious little flurry that went through, it was sticking to the pine needles and sticking to the roof of the house, and the sun was just coming out, and the kids were enchanted with the beauty of it, and they tasted it. They made these small snowballs, and they screamed with delight. And see them, she ran right underneath the pine tree, which was like an umbrella. And there were the brown needles with no snow on them at all. But the snow was on the green needles up in the tree. She knelt down, she looked up through the branches of green with the white snow, looked up the blue sky and the rapidly studying the clouds that were drifting by and the grass that had come out of the northwest. And she said, I knew you could do it. And she said, thank you so much. But she said, this is your birthday, isn't it? And you're just a baby. So I know you didn't do it. If you have a mother, and she knew that I'm just a kid and I wanted something bad on Christmas Day, I guess she told you. She said, I sure would like to meet your mother someday. And then she said, thanks. So she ran out and she played with the other kids and the snow melted and gone in about a half an hour. And at 14, she decided, I think I'll be a doctor. But if there's any church in the world that's really the real church, then I guess it's the Catholic one. Many years went by, and one day she was walking up and down on the sidewalk, back and forth in front of the Catholic church. It was lunch hour. Every day for years, she walked up in front, walked up and down in front of the Catholic church. It was hot, always hot in that southern city, and the front door was always open, and when you looked in, you could see the altar. You could see the tabernacle. And one day, and she had been doing this for years at lunch hour, up and down, one day a girl came down the steps and cried out, why, Helen! I haven't seen you since high school. And they chatted for a few minutes and she said, what are you doing here, Helen? And then Helen says, I come over here every day at lunchtime. The girl says, but you were pastor, aren't you, Helen? And she said, yes, I am. And she said, why do you come? And Helen says, because I know he's in there. So the girl says, oh, Helen, you mean no one has ever taken you in fact. Come right up now. She took her by the hand, she went up the stairs, and she said, Helen, you put your hand now in the holy water. You make the sign of the cross, and then you genuflect, and Helen wasn't paying attention. Helen was walking down the front of the aisle. She kept coming down, she was talking out loud, and she kept on saying, I knew you were here. And the girl cried out, she slapped the finger. And she slapped the finger. Genuflect, you're going, go to the tree, stop, don't talk. And Helen kept saying, I knew you were here, and when she got in the cabin after she didn't genuflect, she came right over to the Out to the Blessed Virgin Mary, we call it the statue, there's no longer statue, the arms are open doing this, and the Blessed Mother is smiling very much at Helen. And Helen knows Alan, he spent the whole afternoon there and immediately began instructions and was baptized, and 5 years later she was dead, but in the meantime she had become a mystic. So she remembered with total recall what happened when she was 7 years old, what she said. She remembers that afternoon when she saw the Blessed Virgin Mary. She remembers the miracle of her conversion. What is the key? Divine grace. And what did the girl say when she got the divine grace? I knew it could do it because it's just too much for you. If you're just a baby in a drawer birthday today, I bet your mother told you that I'm just a kid and I would like to have something for Christmas. I hope someday I can meet her. Why would you ask your holy sacrifice to Mass to meet the Blessed Virgin Mary? And why would you ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to help me one day to meet Jesus Christ? Who will bring you to the Holy Ghost and to the Heavenly Father. And then why don't you ask for a miracle for your children if you need it? If you have 17 children, ask for 17 miracles. Don't be afraid. Remember what Helen said. She was a mystic. Tell the story over and over again. It's too much to you. It's very much to God. She won't labor and strain mentally to give you a miracle. Ask and ask and ask. And in the meantime, if you think you're still going to go to Helen at the bargain, keep on praying and struggling and praying and struggling, something will happen to you in the meantime. You'll be afraid, and you'll be the reason for their miraculous conversion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear brethren, you see in the front of the chapel, sisters in the habit of the ancient days of the church. I wish that you would pray for the sisters. Only mothers and fathers who are tortured by their children have any understanding of how much the older sisters have suffered in this age. And I wish that you had an opportunity to see the pastor of this parish that you would thank him for making this entire weekend, which began on Thursday night, possible. Many people have come and gone. The Father has been most generous in opening up his parish and all the facilities to all who came and went and disrupted by their presence, not consciously, but any plans that he might have had for his people in his parish for this weekend. And I wish you would thank the people whom you happen to know that had a hand in making this weekend possible. And finally, I do hope that you will try. Be you a grandmother or a grandfather? Be you far along in years and single? Be you a child in the family? I wish you would pray for children very much, every day. I wish you would pray for mothers and fathers for two reasons. That they will hold up and that they will know what to do. And what does that mean? To hold up means to pray. How do you pray? I told the people yesterday, 5 requirements for good prayer. You pray with humility. You know your unworthiness. You pray with perseverance. You never give up. You pray with resignation to the holy will of God. He may not give what you ask, but he'll give you something better, even when he says no. And you pray with patience. And that's what it means to hold up as a prayer. You do everything within your power as a human being, but that's all you are, just a creature. How can you expect a supernatural miracle? By prayer and by suffering. You are suffering, you do pray, but begin now. Pray well. Concentrate on God and God. Tell him right away that you desire with all your being the gift of humility. And pray with fervor, for that is the 5th requirement for prayer. And after those laws, you must not have a window. That's not playing. What you say, you said these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Your distractions in no way at all harm your prayer. Forget about them. Stop kicking yourself every time you get to a certain decade of the rosary and say, God, I don't even remember saying that after two decades. It's all right. Just go on. Every minute that you spend rebuking yourself, grinding your teeth into the grin, pinching your fingers in outrage at yourself, you got many heartbeats more of distraction. Possess your soul in peace. You're only a priest there. You're not an angel, you're a human being. He is a perfect creature. If the angel envies you when you pray, did you ever think of that? He looks with awe upon you. He is a guardian. And he listens to you as though you are superior to the celestial choirs of heaven when you pray. Why? First of all, he is an angel and a child. And when you pray, you are a child of God talking to your heavenly Father. And you are not a subject speaking to his divine majesty like the angel. You're a child of God. And secondly, the angel prays with infinite perfection and infinite love. And we pray with imperfection and with just a smattering of love. But here's the difference. Angels pray and we pray. And there's an infinite superiority in his prayer over mine. And angels love infinitely and we love in our pure passion. But that's all the angel can do is love and pray. But I can be just like Jesus Christ. And remember, the angel knows where I came from. He saw the first creature fall from the slime of the earth. He knows I'm clay. Very feeble, but I can pray just like Jesus Christ with prayer, love, and suffering, and the angel can never suffer. So he cannot be like Jesus Christ and Christ praying. He's going to snuff us to life. With a mask of death coming over his face on the cross. But I can be a lot like Jesus Christ, and the angel can never be. And Christ, that night in the garden, was sorrowful even unto death. And oh, how heavy I can be in my spirit. I know all about depression. I could write a book on despondency and dejection under the disconsolate saints. Some of us could even talk about desolation and dereliction. But that makes me powerful when I cry. There are some people who suffer so much they cannot keep their mind on the Hail Mary to finish it. That is how terrible their suffering. But they many, many, many times kiss the crucifix on the end of their rosary. And they only say over and over and over again, love. They can't finish the sentence, I will love thee, oh my God. They just kiss the wounds of the dying Jesus. And I am praying well. The more I suffer, the more perfectly I pray. Keep that in mind when you are in a bad way. So I've spent everything into your day except sin, yours and the sins of others. All else is arranged and planned. Because God is hammering, grinding, cutting, firing, shaking, molding, wearing me down, building me up. Creating a creature who will one day leave this world having been polished and scoured and dusted and grounded and shaped. It's such a creature of perfection of the all holy God will say, come to me in the last. That's what God is getting me ready for himself to call me blessed, the all holy God. And it takes work. It takes time. Not that it's an effort for God, but you feel resistance. So dear parents, remember, weep not for me, but for your children. Those are the words of Christ. You have reason for fear. And so when you've had them, pull yourself together and take a look at life as it really is. Are there nations in the church? Are there apostate priests in the church? Are there communists in the church? Are there infiltrators in Judaism in the church? Is the church tottering? Is heresy being taught? Are children being destroyed? Is humanism and paganism the new religion that is being substituted for Roman Catholicism? Is it all true? So be it. In the meantime, the best thing that I can do for Holy Mother Church is to let God have His will. And I become saved. That's what His will for me. And He has placed me in an age when I am one of the soldiers in that last in battle line around Christ the King, when He fights His last triumphant battle. In the eyes of faith, we see and believe, but with human eyes, you can't see it. You can't make a judgment. All you see is ruin and desolation. All you see is the effects of human culpability, the degeneracy of human beings, the malice of treacherous apostates. That's all we see. But if you have the eyes of faith and with a supernatural point of view and the perspective that is God, you see the world for what it is. That land where saints are made to the imitation of Christ. And remember Christ had days with His most blessed mother, and dear Saint Joseph. And Christ did labor with His hands, and Christ did partake of the food that was prepared by His own most blessed mother. And Christ had a long period of life in that blessed sanctuary called the Holy Home of the Holy Family. But then He had His other days, didn't He? And so it is with all of us. There are the pleasant and there are the brutal days. But one is not the other, and the both make a lifetime. And the end of that lifetime is the finished product of the living is, through the child of God, blessed in the sight of the Heavenly Father. Then as I told you yesterday, the time the movement says it's true, what it keeps Christ to pay for God to love Him and have Him and live with Him forever. What a very cheap price to pay. My dear brethren, pray for supernatural hope. Let it may be deepened in you, strengthened in you, and may buoy you up the worst day you have. Supernatural hope is the one virtue that has gone out of Catholic life. The other virtues we may talk about as being strengthened or more evident. We may talk about the other virtues as being perhaps calm in this age. But there is one virtue that's gone. It's like devotion to St. Joseph, you hardly hear it. It's like devotion to the Holy Ghost, you hardly hear it. But all the supernatural virtue of hope. Mothers and fathers wring their hands and tell priests over and over and over again, I'm so upset at what's going to happen to my children's faith. And they bring their children to confession on every occasion. Because they know about their sins against charity. They know about all the children's sins. But those same mothers and those same fathers and those same children go to confession 80 times in a year and never once will they say that they committed a sin against hope. And that's the devil's great dupe for the same. He dupes this one and all because there's so much reason to be discouraged. Once again, that's the human judgment. The human judgment took a rock. That Judas Iscariot, when they handed him the 30 pieces of silver, and saw the pen of a son of man who has nowhere to lay his head. Who would be the better off that night? The man who has 30 pieces of silver and enormous amount of money for a population that was living on pennies. We know that even as late as the 18th century, it's possible to live in England and live well on less than $200 a year. This is living a little bit beyond comfortably. Who had the butter that evening? The man with all the money saw just a little bit of double dealing? Or the poor victim that was being ripped under the stairs? Who was the better off that night? Human judgment fell immediately. Well, it's too bad that this man was asleep, and it's too bad he betrayed his master, but 30 pieces of silver, that was a lot of money. And the other man, that poor fellow being scared, that's what human eyes saw. They didn't see the divine Jesus Christ. They didn't understand about the sacred pastor. They only had eyes. They didn't have the eyes of faith. You and I have the eyes of faith. We know what Judas was, and we know who it was that was being scared. It was not a man. It was Jesus Christ, the second person, the most blessed Trinity, the incarnate Word of God made man, born of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is how you have to look at your children, and this is how you have to look at the church, and this is how you have to look at the age. With the eyes of faith, more is involved in brain power or education. If brain power is sufficient, we would have very few traitors. If divine education was sufficient, we would have very few apostles. No, faith is required. Supernatural hope. And true charity. When Stalin lived, when Khrushchev lived, when the monsters of the earth lived, when they are still living, it is incumbent upon us to pray for them. They may be possessed by 60 trillion legions of their demons. It doesn't make any difference. They were made to the image and likeness of God and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Christ died for them. And they may be the persecutors of the church. They may be Nero in one day. In comparison to what Nero did to the church in his entire reign, it doesn't make any difference. We are expected to have that charity. The enemies of Christ, we can detest. My personal enemies, I cannot detest. I am supposed to forgive my enemies. Now those who do great wrong to the church and the soul, I can fight them, I can resist them, I can expose them, I can do everything to thwart them. But in the end, I cannot forget to say prayers for their conversion. I always remind people the same prayer I was galloping away from Jerusalem, breathing fire. He had authorization from the high priest. He had proof. He was going to the master. He was going to arrest the small number of Roman Catholics there. They were going to be tortured. And then he was going to see to their execution when he had all the information. He was going to kill this infant church by crushing it. Right away, before it got started. Where is cruelty and meanness? You're a false zero. And God struck him off the horse, and he is a great St. Paul. The greatest missionary the world has ever known. Only in heaven will we know the hundreds and hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of souls. Tens and hundreds of millions that have come to Jesus Christ because there was once such an enemy of Christ. By Christ's testimony, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Pray for the conversion of your enemies. So when you pray for your family, remember this, the story I told you yesterday. You think you have a bad? You sure have, but you want to see somebody else. Don't be filled with too much compassion for yourself. Bear your cross with holy resignation to the holy will of God. Pray for fortitude and supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. Pray for understanding. Pray the prayer of the blind man, Lord, that I might see. But pray. Pray with confidence. Resignation to the holy will of God. Pray with fervor. Pray with patience. take perseveringly. Don't give up. But don't just think you remember. These men had not made a mistake in judgment. They were all going to die. There was no hope. No man can live in that sea. World famous in Paris. Mothers and fathers, don't you feel like going out when you think about what's happening to yourself, your children, maybe even happening to your marriage. Mothers and fathers, you're all upset about your kids. Did you ever think about how terrible it must be upset and your husband's not? Or to be upset and your wife's not? Or did you ever think about how terrible it must be for the one good boy in the family or the one good girl in the family whose mother and father are nothing but bums? And all the other kids are just like mom and dad. Well, when you think you have a dad, look around. There are 10 dozen others who have it a little harder. It doesn't make any difference. I arise today through the strength of God to pilot me. God before me, God behind me, to the right of me, to the left of me, within me, without me, above me, beneath me, God in my day, every day. I'm never alone. There's a reason for it all. And remember the rebuke of Jesus Christ, the devil is thinking. When you think things are very bad, why are you fearful? Oh, you are a little funny. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
And thus, Father, concluding his retreats for family, these tapes of Father's retreat came into my hands by the working of divine providence, with the request that I reproduce them to make them available for you and for others. Although some of the original recording on these tapes of Father's retreat are not the very best quality, I pray that you have been able to understand them and that they have been a great benefit to your soul, that you will share this information of these tapes with others, and let Father's words ring in the ears of many to the end of time. I request your assistance in letting others know that they also can obtain copies of these tapes of Father's retreat, as well as many other Catholic books on cassette tapes, as well as Catholic music. You can obtain these from your religious supply store or order direct from Patrick Henry, Route 2, Box 957, Stafford, Arizona, 85546. That address again, Route 2, Patrick Henry, Route 2, Box 957, Stafford, S-A-F-F-O-R-D, Stafford, Arizona, 85546. Some of the 212 Catholic hymns that are available, you have heard on these tapes. Canon music, including instrumental music for masses, as well as the inner titles, are mostly all produced on broadcast quality equipment read by my friend. Some of this music and books read on cassette tapes that are available would include The Enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, several very good books about the Blessed Virgin Mary, books written by St. Louis Anita Montfort, such as Sweet Devotion to Mary, The Friends of the Cross, The Secret of Mary, books by Father Faber, All for Jesus, The Catechism of the Council of Trent, books on the lives of the saints, several apologetic books, and many others. Again, I request your prayers for those who have made these tapes available for you and for myself, as well as requesting your many prayers for the peace of Jesus Christ for us. God bless you. Thank you.